We have some exciting news for our listeners. This summer, 2025, we will be releasing our book, Confronting Evil in Our Time, unpacking the Screwtape Letters podcast inspired by C.S. Lewis. We are making signed first edition copies available for you leading up to the release. To secure your first edition signed copy, go to screwtapeletterspodcast.com and fill out the form to get your book. From Galen and I, we want to thank you for your support and Jesus Christ, who makes all things possible. God bless.
All right, well, here we go. Screwtape Letters podcast, Confronting Evil in Our Times. Here we are jumping back into season two as we are hitting the letters another time through and each time going a little bit deeper, unpacking some Easter eggs, some specific biblical thoughts, phrases that C.S. Lewis uses, spiritual or biblical concepts, and just unpacking them a little bit more. So, Ian, we ready to dive into letter number 20?
We are, and this is the area within the Screwtape Letters where I think there's like three or four of these episodes that cover sexuality, whether it's within love, within marriage, or within just relationships or courting, and this one's, you know, part of that. I won't say trilogy because I think there's four of them. So,
right now there's quite a few here all hitting that topic of love and sex and marriage and all those things. And before we dive in fully and get to what is kind of our Easter egg for this subject, give us a quick rundown and just kind of the scope and direction of this letter, because he's talking about temptation and the background. It'll help set the stage for when we pull one specific phrase and one specific word out and unpack it.
Yeah, he's really diving in throughout here. He talks a lot about using men's sexuality for his undoing. And they also talk about how sexual temptation is almost like, in basketball terms, a layup for the demonic, that they know how weak we are as men. And it creates, and I love this line at the end, the unhappiness of the exquisite and lasting kind when they actually get you there. So the temptation side of this really flows throughout it in all different ways. He's saying you failed on on attacks on his chastity, and then you also got these other attacks that are coming that are, again, all these temptations that men have towards the wrong kind of women or fleeting pleasures. And then he digs into something that you found and you pulled it from Proverbs 31.
Yeah. So, you know, again, chapter really talking about the various ways that sexuality is used to be exploited and men specifically are tempted. And then he says men are basically tempted by one of two ideal women. And this is now, we're going to get a little bit of my paraphrase of C.S. Lewis here. Either a terrestrial or an infernal Venus. So basically I'll give you some terms here. And he even says one of them is actually a lot more agreeable and a lot more favorable to the enemy, namely God. That's your terrestrial Venus, and one is your infernal. So think of it this way. Men are attracted to virtuous women, women who are down to earth, women who are real, women who are getting stuff done, or they're attracted to just really hot women. If I can give a summary and paraphrase to what C.S. Lewis is getting at here. And this is kind of where he brings the chapter together that says, hey, listen, Wormwood, you can usually get your man falling for one of these two types. Best thing you can do is get a smoking hot woman and make him think that that's going to be a really good wife for him. Don't let him have much regard or develop a good, healthy desire for one of these terrestrial Venuses. So Venus is a word that's almost like a god, and terrestrial meaning down to earth. She's real. She's kind of got her feet on the ground, and there's a lot of different women out there. And I love unpacking the book of Proverbs that gives young men, especially, a lot of warnings about different types of women. But you know, there's a chapter in Proverbs. It's the last Proverbs in the book, Proverbs 31. And it really spends a lot of time unpacking what a good, godly, to use the term here, down to earth, virtuous woman looks like. And the demonic here is actually trying to stop Wormwood or allow Wormwood to stop his patient from falling in love with that type of woman.
You know, it's interesting thinking about this from both a man's point of view and a woman's point of view, and thinking how we've got to be careful here that this doesn't come off as being just a male-centric, a very patriarchal viewpoint on this, because women are involved too. And I look at this and I think through a woman's life compared to a man's life, and the amazing gift women have to birth children. And it's a great conversation I've been having with other people recently, which is women don't create children. They incubate children, because they don't make them. They incubate them, right? The sexual act gets the process started. And at some point in there, I'm a true belief that you have to have a decision architect being God, who comes in and starts creation. And it's in the right. womb of a woman. So, but the woman didn't start that creation. God starts that creation, right? So where I'm going with this is that that window for women is between sort of around 16 through maybe 35. And then outside of that, it becomes more difficult. You get more women who can't conceive. And you, before that, they're children, and you shouldn't be even thinking along those lines, or yeah, they're totally not ready. And so you have this situation where, because of that draw of a woman's body during that time, she has something that men lust for, which is a sexual being within them as well. And but in the same way as men objectify women sexually, women make that choice to become either a beautiful infernal Venus or a beautiful terrestrial Venus. Because I think someone could listen to this, Galen, and think to themselves, well, I want the infernal Venus because those guys keep talking about it being hot and being sexy, and I want my wife to be hot and sexy for you. Yeah, right. You know, you want that within your relationship. And it's not like, oh, I'm going to marry a woman who isn't sexy because I'd rather be not married to an infernal Venus. But you can have, I believe you can have a very beautiful sexual woman who is a terrestrial Venus.
Right. Well, let's do this. Let's unpack first and foremost kind of what that terrestrial Venus kind of looks like. Yeah. I want to point out just a couple things from Proverbs 31, which honestly, let's just also be honest. If you don't know what Proverbs 31 is and this is new to you, great. It's a chapter that kind of shows what ideal womanhood should look like and what virtue looks like in the feminine arena. If you're a church person, this could sound like two guys just talking. I mean, it's easy for guys to say what a good woman ought to be.
That's where we ought to go there, exactly. Right.
So it's like, you know, but I think it's good to know what not just women ought to be, but what men should aspire towards being, you know, married to. But an excellent wife who can find, she's far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and she will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and is willing and works with willing hands. It means she's a person who has the trust of her husband. It talks about her being a merchant. I'm not going to sit here and read the chapter, but it unpacks a woman who's she's very wise in all of the arenas of life. She's good with business. She's running a side business. She manages her home well. She's trustworthy. She has a good reputation in the community. She's not pretentious. She's not overly concerned about her looks, but she appears to be really well put together. That's something that's very good character. And that's something that, you know, that might not be perceived as immediately hot and sexy in the short term. We're going to want someone from the culture of hell, the infernal Venus, someone who's just like hell, maybe smoking hot. Guys might be attracted to that initially. But I think what's really important to know is whenever you pursue character and virtue and long-term thinking, say, delayed gratification. I'm not going to lust over this woman today and can't wait to get her in bed. I'm going to take some time to fall in love with her and enjoy all the aspects of her character. I believe you actually end up with both. I believe when you make a choice based off of character, based off of virtue, and what C.S. Lewis calls a terrestrial Venus in this case, if you can choose delay gratification and invest in your relationship in the long haul, you actually end up with a better sexual relationship and a better sexual partner in a wife in the long term than if you had just gone with the hot girl right up in the beginning, who's probably, you know, presumably better in bed and is going to satisfy you in that way today by choosing virtue tomorrow. I think you actually end up with both. Whereas if you go with Satan's, you end up with a little bit of thrill today, but you end up in slavery for life and that misery that's of the most lasting and exquisite kind, as you said.
Well, you've got to think of it along the lines of as well, is that that smoking hot Venus that they talk about gets older. And generally, as women get older, they lose their looks in a lot of cases that attracts men in their early 20s. Mm-hmm. And that's just a fact, right? We all get older. Men lose their joie de vivre or whatever it is that attracts mm-hmm. women early on as well.
And gravity's pulling everything down, you know.
Well, exactly, right? and unless you have that bond, you're just going to be disappointed, right? And that's why it's of the lasting kind, that the misery that it creates. And, you know, again, I think I've noted in another episode that I know a friend who never wanted to get married and all he was doing was playing the field with all these women, and he's pretty miserable.
Right. He's probably having a lot more fun than the other guys on the front end of it. He's probably, maybe on one particular Friday night, he might be enjoying himself more than others. But what does that lifestyle lead to in the long run?
Well, absolutely. And it doesn't give you the meaning that you have from raising children and having a lasting relationship with somebody else, that it is long-term. It's more work, but again, the payoff of it is just so much more beautiful. But it made me also think along the lines of, societally, men sculpt women and women sculpt men. And the where I'm going with is this, is the more men push for cheap casual sex with women and the more women consent to that, it then reflects back on men and makes men increase their desires, and because women become more invaluable to them. And where women were doing it as, I'll give you sex for love, then there's less love in there because the men think less of them. And you've got this societal like twist where the feminist revolution, where it's free women up to act just like men. Really, has that worked out great? Just add up the amount of lonely 30, 40, 50-year-old women who are out there who have got a body count that a man who wants to marry, and a lot of them will be like, well, I just thought I'd get a man to marry me by being free to him. And it's,
right.
No, it isn't, because you're free is cheap. It's like if you market or sell anything in life, there is a value on it where people will buy it and respect it.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm. And it's the same when you're talking about relationships with people. It's if you get walked all over in life, whether you're a man or a woman, people don't respect you.
That's true.
And that's where I think this plays into this, is it's in that bigger picture. And I could even expand it over into the growth of the abortion industry is due to men wanting cheap, available sex with women who want to be that, who their option for birth control, because they're not valuing their life or the life that is created inside of them, becomes a convenience.
Right. Well, and it's almost, you could look at it this way. The women are trying to market themselves as an infernal Venus to get the attention from the men. But the men aren't even looking to marry the infernal Venus anymore, which is what the total temptation in the chapter here is. Well, then see if you can get them to marry one of those. And men aren't even doing that in the world anymore. They're just taking them, you know, for short-term thrills and then moving on to the next thing.
Right. But there is, like, you know, on that spectrum, right, Galen, you've got like the prostitutes and the concubines on one far end of the spectrum. Then you've got, call them the nuns, or the on the other end of the spectrum, people who would like, they can actually be hard marriages as well, because they don't have the ability to have. And we had a pastor who always said, sex within marriage is amazing. And it should be. And that's why you get married, to have a good sex life within your marriage. But I think there's women on that end of the spectrum who, for sex, for them, is icky. It's weird. It's, they're never going to be that intimate. But as you get to the middle, there's all this, these colors within the middle. And there's obviously certain women who are on that borderline of, am I a terrestrial Venus or am I an infernal Venus? And which way am I going to go?
You know, and even while I'm thinking of it here, we talked about Proverbs 31, and that's kind of a chapter that unpacks the meaning of the terrestrial Venus. And now I'll go out on a limb and see if I can pull the right chapter here. Here's your chapter for the infernal Venus, also in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 7 looks like a good chapter for infernal Venus. We're not going to read these chapters. Chapters 6 and 7, you have your infernal Venuses. So as much as it's a challenge for men to guide and direct their sexual desires and temptations and choose wisely and know that you can stand against temptation. That was kind of the first thing he talks about in this chapter.
Yeah.
Jesus stood against temptation. You don't have to give in, but also even a challenge to women that both of these characterizations, the terrestrial and the infernal Venus, each are characterized in scripture because there's nothing new under the sun. C.S. Lewis didn't just make an observation that was new to his time and his day. These things have been going on for a pretty good long time.
And with temptation, especially around sexual matters, if you can, as a man, especially resist those temptations, it sets you up to resist all the other temptations that come. And the demonic know that the sexual temptation is such an easy one for them, because we're so pathetic, that if we as men can actually fight that, then we're in good stead. Now, people will say, well, it's just too hard. I can't, because it's just my nature and all this. It does actually say in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. In other words, this isn't something that's God doesn't know about. God knows exactly that this is something that's going to be there. It's,
right.
It's throughout scripture. But it says God is faithful and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. Mm-hmm. So in other words, he's there to say, I'm not going to put you in a situation where you have no choice. You still have a choice.
Right.
You make that choice. And I'll have a challenge to men out there with what I was saying about society reflects society and men reflect women, is that you're lusting over, chasing over, defiling women outside of marriage. Every one of them is chipping away at a society that, if eventually you marry a woman and you have children, you're releasing those children into that society.
Mm.
And it has a bigger effect. Like all of this, it isn't just, it just happened on a Friday night, it's no big deal. Those people exist on Saturday.
Right.
The walk of shame happens. The it's not that big a deal. Oh, it's just a bit of fun. And then it spirals down. And then before you know it, there's a really bad situation happens where a woman will either be raped or coerced or drugged or whatever, because the men think she's that kind of girl.
Right.
And again, it's a compounding effect that's had within that sexual temptation that is really, really important for men and women to play their part in mitigating.
I agree with you 100%, Ian. I think especially when men start to compromise on this, you see society and safety start to deteriorate in really, really terrible ways, which is why I think it's important. I think the topic of sex, especially in a man's life, it's going to be one of the biggest tests. Talk about temptation and tests. It's one of the biggest tests that you're going to come to, and it has the more of an ability to ruin your future and ruin culture than anything else, which is why I think it's really important to get it right. It's why the demonic focuses on it so much. But it's also a great chapter to just stop and look. All men are tempted. He says right in the beginning of the chapter, you know, one of the best things you can do is make them think the only way to get out of this temptation is to give in. Because it's not true.
No, that's not the case, right? And that was a great line in there. Yeah, no hope for getting rid of us, the demonic say, except for yielding to it. And I think that's where a lot of people who are trying to walk faithfully in their teens get to the point where, oh, everyone else is doing it. So they just yield to it to stop the pressure of having to resist. But yeah, that comes with, as I say, it comes with a lot of consequences, some of them more apparent than others. And I'll give you this one, Galen, as a last type. One of the big consequences of this is the marriage where the man or the woman commits infidelity that leads to divorce, and the children have to suffer through that situation.
Right.
You know, and
there's a downstream effect that goes on way, way more than you'll ever realize. You're starting a forest fire right there.
Correct.
You know, sex is literally like a fire in a fireplace. It's a beautiful thing. It's a powerful thing. It can be indoors. You know, it's this powerful force. But once that fire starts getting out of the fireplace, it can burn down a house, a community, a city, and a forest. And the destruction is way more than that tiny little ember that it started with. And I think it's a good thing for guys to know. So I would just, you know, kind of wrap up the chapter here, wrap up today's talk and say, you know, to guys who have failed aspects of this test in the past, there's certainly those out there. Good thing about walking your tests with God is he always allows you to retest. There's always a way to move forward. There's always a way to make better decisions in the future. And for young guys that are in, you know, still young and choosing the spouse and getting established in life, be aware of those big decisions in life. There's a couple options for you. Scripture and Proverbs specifically outlines them. 5, 6, 7 talks about an infernal Venus. Proverbs 31 talks about a terrestrial one. But I think pursuing a lot of wisdom, a lot of long-term thinking, and a lot of walking with the Lord with regards to how you handle sexual desires and temptation and architect your life, it's one of the biggest aspects of life that you can either get right or wrong. And the Lord is with you. So there we go. Letter number 20, Screwtape Letters Podcast, Confronting Evil in Our Time. We look forward to seeing you all next week when we dive into a deeper look at letter 21. Take care.